The Armoganu Gallery is a non-for-profit Aboriginal art gallery and cafe located up in Moree, which I, being the city slicker I am, only realised was about 7 hours' drive away today as I was looking over this. The gallery supports and features artists from local Aboriginal artists and Aboriginal artworks from communities across Australia. Joining us today is the gallery director, Toby Osman. Toby, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Thank you for having me on.
So, can you tell us a little bit about the Armoganu Gallery, how it got started and how it supports local and First Nations artists all around the country?
Certainly. Okay. Well, our parent company, to take you right back to the beginning, which is an important part of the story, our parent company is an initiative called Aboriginal Employment Strategy, which was set up in the mid to late 90s as a response to the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Deaths in Custody in the early 90s, that some of your listeners may remember. And anyway, the Moree, where we are, Northwest New South Wales, is a big agricultural shire. And so the idea with the AES, it was a local cotton farmer. And then he recognised that, sadly, a lot of young men from community were going into the system for, you know, sort of simple things like, you know, not having a driver's license and being pulled over. The reason they wouldn't have a driver's license is because the literacy skills weren't there at the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, what this farmer, a man by the name of Dick Estens, he got a commitment from other farmers in the area to employ young Aboriginal guys. And then so the AES, you know, the whole sort of, you know, the main objective behind, you know, what we try to do is that we recognise that, you know, the way out of, you know, breaking the cycle, so to speak, is through employment and also helping sort of Aboriginal people sort of build their own businesses and manage their own businesses. So anyway, the AES, which is now nationwide, they have, you know, offices all around Australia. They work with, you know, the four big banks, big companies like Bentley's, that kind of thing. The AES, there's this vision to go back to the town where it all began, being Moree.
Yeah.
And so that brings us to Armoganu, which is a gallery and cafe. I'm not Indigenous myself, but I'm the only non-Indigenous person that works at Yama. And then in the 10 years that we've been here, we've employed about 200 people from community.
That's awesome.
A lot of them will be, you know, sort of young kids who, you know, it's just school leavers, and some of them might be, you know, people in their 40s or 50s who've never actually worked before in their life because they just haven't been given that opportunity.
Yeah. So as we get back to things opening up, people being able to travel again, you've got some new galleries launching. What are they? What should people be excited about? And what's kind of the story behind them?
As far as our gallery or the traveling, so look, with our gallery, Armoganu, we only work with Aboriginal-owned and operated art centres from right across Australia, as well as some local artists that you mentioned earlier. So, you know, a lot out in what we refer to as the Central Desert, which is sort of, say, you know, around Alice Springs, over into the Western Desert, which is that sort of area that straddles the Northern Territory WA border and down into the APY lands, the northwestern corner of South Australia. What's very important about these art centres is that historically, in the past, when artists have been, you know, exploited or, you know, not sort of remunerated properly for their work, generally a lot of the sorry business happens in and around the bigger centres like Alice Springs or Port Hedland over in WA. So the idea with the art centres was, you know, sorry, artists would be going into those bigger centres so often to access health services like dialysis or that kind of thing. They'd be feeling very displaced because, you know, their connection to their own country is so strong. And also, you know, they, you know, this is where the issues around exploitation would happen. So anyway, there was an idea to the artists to, you know, be able to return to their country now that we have wonderful health services sort of, you know, right across, you know, some of these really remote locations. And so the art centre model sort of runs like a co-op, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, you generally will have a board which is made up of senior artists. There will, you know, normally there will be sort of, you know, a whitey, or so they'd say, like a white person, you know, from who will be helping manage the business, because a lot of the time these remote communities, they still only speak language, and they recognise that a lot of those sort of back of house business skills are skills they don't possess, so they're quite happy to have a white person in there sort of, you know, helping schedule exhibitions and that kind of thing. You know, it should be said that white person absolutely reports to the Aboriginal board. But what's important is that, you know, the joy in, you know, a lot of this work that we sell is through the artist's connection to own country. And that's where it's really exciting, you know, that joy will come through, you know, sort of painting their stories, which would generally be about, you know, about place, you know, out in the desert.
Mm.
And you know, and this is a way, remember that these communities, it's a way that, you know, people pass on knowledge, you know, we write books and things like that. We have so many references, but a lot of these communities, they will, you know, the people from these communities, it's interesting when they'll often pick up the brushes as they're possibly approaching the end of their lives, so they can sort of get their story down, get the knowledge down before they before they pass on. And the way they do that is by, you know, sort of putting acrylic paint to canvas, or often like ochre or that kind of thing. So, you know, it's such an important, I mean, it's a huge responsibility, you know, with what we do, because we're not only sort of, you know, returning revenue to these communities, but we're helping get their story out.
Yeah, I think last thing I wanted to ask before I let you go, Toby, is, you know, aside from making the trek out to Moree, which we'll, of course, have links to details up on the 2SER website if people want to find out where the gallery is located and go out there themselves, is there any way that people outside of Moree or outside of travelling to the gallery itself can help support the work that you do?
Yes, well, look, any support of, the contemporary Aboriginal art movement is really well. If it's not from our gallery, it is, you know, other galleries that are ethical and that are there for the artists. There's a really wonderful initiative called the Indigenous Art Code. It'd be great if you put that up on your website. So the Indigenous Art Code is there to support the artists. So, you know, if your viewers your listeners who may be interested in, you know, sort of coming on board and supporting, they can go onto the code website and it'll list all the galleries and the people who are doing the right thing and seeing the money return
awesome.
To
fantastic. Well, Toby, that's the time we have, and I massively appreciate you hopping online from all the way out in Moree to tell us a little bit more about Yamaganu and its awesome initiative. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for your interest. Okay, we hope to see you.
All righty.